Well, hello everyone.
Hello. How are you doing?
How wonderful it is to just worship the Lord. Yeah, feels good. So tonight we're going to talk about faith. And it's an important subject because we as Christians, it's a big part of our life. And our faith determines how successful we are in our Christian life. And I know we hear a lot about faith. We talk a lot about faith. We've probably all heard many, many, many teachings on faith. So here I am to talk about faith. So in order to be successful in using our faith, we have to understand what faith is. And we have to understand some things in order to be able to properly have it be effective in our lives. So looking at the outline, let's look at the overview. Our victories in our Christian walk are based on whether or not we believe that the Word of God is true. In other words, our victories are determined by our faith in God and in His Word, and by our ability to use our faith to bring the Word of God, God's promises, into reality in our lives. And faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So our salvation is a gift of God, and our faith also is a gift of God. We have the Holy Spirit and faith through the fruit of the Spirit in us, all gifts of God. But we have to believe it and understand some things in order to tap into that faith and have it effectively work in our lives. We have the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We have the supernatural faith of God in our spirits. But there's also a human faith, a natural faith. And sometimes they get confused. And a lot of times they're used interchangeably, but they're actually very different from one another. For example, someone might say, to sit in a chair takes faith. It does take faith to sit in the chair, but it's a human faith. It's a natural faith because you can see the chair. You can see if it has four legs, if it has two legs, if the seat is secure, or if there's a big hole in the seat, which helps you determine whether or not you're going to sit in that chair. Same thing with going to the doctor. Somebody could say, well, it takes a lot of faith to go to the doctor, and it does. But it takes a human faith to go to the doctor because, once again, it's based on our five senses. They tell us a diagnosis or they give different remedies for the diagnosis. And that's all based on our five senses that helps a person determine whether or not they're going to go with the doctor. So natural faith is using your five senses to help you believe. The supernatural faith of God that we have in our spirits is not based on the five senses. It's believing without seeing. That we are able to bring those things which we don't see in the spiritual realm into the natural realm. So the supernatural faith is a pipeline, or like a conduit, if you will, between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. And it helps those, and that's how those things in the spiritual realm come into the natural realm, which is through the supernatural faith that we have in our spirits. So the definition of faith is found in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'll tell you, I was telling my husband, I just had such a challenge with the scripture for so long. I knew it in my spirit, but I couldn't speak to it. I would read it and I would think, faith, That's intangible. So how can something intangible be tangible for something intangible? And I just couldn't grasp it. And the Lord, in all his mercy and his grace, I think it was Monday? Was it Monday or Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday. He just gave me the revelation, and I was in the other room, and I was like, I got it. And my husband comes in and says, what'd you get? You know, so I started sharing it with him, and he was excited because it helped him connect some things too. So what the Lord showed me is that we have the supernatural faith of God in our spirits. And that is what we use to bring those things hoped for, because hope is in the future. It's in the unseen, to bring those things hoped for into the now, into the present. And it's done by the supernatural faith that's in our spirits. So that's what gives substance to the things hoped for. And the things that we hope for in God, he showed me, is certain. Versus someone that doesn't have the faith of God in their spirits, what they're hoping for is uncertain. There's a lot of uncertainty because they're hoping for it. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But they're hoping that it will. Where this, with our supernatural faith, we can bring those things hoped for that are certain into the now. And the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That supernatural faith that we have in our spirits, the reason behind it is to bring those things from the unseen into the seen, into the natural world. Otherwise, why would we need supernatural faith, that we have everything that we see, everything that we need? But we want those things that are in the unseen to be brought into the natural, into the seen, and that's done by our supernatural faith. So because we have the supernatural faith in the first place, that is our evidence that there are things unseen. And so that took me a lot of years. The Lord in all his mercy and grace, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. So the faith of God in our spirits gives us the ability to activate the power of God to make every promise of God a reality in our lives. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So faith is leaning on God with your entire personalities. In Hebrews 6:12 in the Amplified, it says, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of their entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence and his power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance, waiting, are now inheriting the promises. I wish I'd had learned that a long, long time ago. Probably about 10 years ago, before I came to ABC, I found myself, unbeknownst to me, in a spiritual battle. I didn't know what a spiritual battle was. I didn't know how to fight a spiritual battle. I didn't even know I was in a spiritual battle. And so I was trying to fight it in the natural, and it didn't work so well. I was doing everything what I thought was right, and I believed that I was speaking truth, and I was doing what is right, but I just kept failing and failing and failing and failing. And I was praying. I'd ask the Lord to help me, and he gave me Psalm 37, which is, do not fret because of evildoers. They will soon be cut down as the chaff and wither as a green herb. So that's something that I would meditate on, but I still wasn't able to just completely trust God and give it to God. I just kept trying to handle it on my own strength and my own abilities. And I got myself challenged. I got challenged with a lot of fear. And what happened was it opened the door for the enemy to come in and attack me. And he attacked me pretty good in my body. And so at that point, I just didn't have it in me to continue the fight. And so, you know, but God, I tell my husband, I have this vision of him looking down at me, and he's like, are you done? Are you through? And I'm like, with my white flag, said, are you sure? Yeah. So he's like, can I have a go at it? Yes, Lord, you know, I was waving my white flag. So I just have this picture of him just rolling up his sleeves and just, you know, and going to work. And boy, he did, you know. I mean, unfortunately, some people, they lost their jobs, my boss and my boss's boss and some other people. It was very unfortunate. I don't know if things would have turned out differently if I had just trusted God from the get-go and that I knew how to just give it to Him instead of trying to do everything on my own strength. So I learned a very, very valuable lesson, and it began my journey of learning how to trust God, learning how to lean on Him and not depend solely on my own abilities and my own strength. So operating in the supernatural faith of God is leaning on Him with our entire personality, with everything that we are. It's having absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, His goodness, and not in our own abilities or the wisdom and knowledge of this world. Because if we are trusting in ourselves or the things of this world, we are carnally minded and relying on our five senses. And we all know what the Bible says about being carnally minded. It's a road that leads a person down the road to death. But we are to be spiritually minded, which leads to life and peace. For the word says that it's with faith and patience that we inherit the promises. And faith is not having a plan B. An example of that might be, let's say you have a pain in your body somewhere, and you're believing God for the pain to go away. Maybe you've taken authority over it, but you're thinking, well, this is pretty painful. If it's not gone in 5 hours, I've always got that Tylenol in the bathroom cabinet. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're thinking, you might as well just take the Tylenol and call it a day, because plan A is done. Plan A just won't work. So we cannot have a plan B. Our faith has to be 100% in God and the Word of God. We have to rely solely on Him. Either we believe or we don't. Because if we have a plan B, then what we're saying is that we have fear that the Word of God won't work. We don't believe that the Word of God will work, or we doubt whether or not the Word of God will work. And in Hebrews 3, God calls a heart of unbelief evil. And He talks in that chapter about the children of Israel and how they were in the wilderness and their hearts were hardened. And God swore in His wrath they would not enter into His rest. And so He said, take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you a heart of unbelief departing from the living God. So when a person is in unbelief, they're departing from God. They're turning away from God instead of turning towards God. An example of that, I listened to this minister, and he was doing a healing line, and many people were coming up for healing. And this one boy, maybe 13, 14 years old, came up for healing. And his eyes were crossed. Like, he said it was the most severely crossed eyes he had ever seen. And he was thinking to himself, ooh, I don't know. And so he went ahead and he prayed for him, and he said, be healed and eyes uncrossed in Jesus' name. And the minister had his eyes closed while he was praying. And he opened his eyes, and the boy's eyes were perfectly straight. They weren't crossed anymore. And the minister out loud looked at him and said, I don't believe it. Oh, immediately the boy's eyes went crossed back again. Wow. And the minister said he repented and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he just could not get that boy's eyes uncrossed again. So an evil heart of unbelief. And faith is believing. And faith pleases God. Matthew 17, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. You're welcome to turn in your Bibles if you like. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So it wasn't their faith, it was the unbelief that prevented them from being able to cast the devil out of that young man, because we all have all the faith that we need. The word says in the King James Version that we have been given the measure of faith, and I believe that's in Romans 12:3. The measure of faith. So whatever that measure is, each of us has that measure. So we all have, and in fact, I think it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, because each man has the measure of faith. So it's not a matter of growing faith. It's a matter of purifying faith. It's a matter of ridding ourselves of unbelief. Mark 11:23, "For verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So faith is believing, and faith, as it tells us here, is not doubting. And then also in Luke 8:50, Jesus says, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And he's making reference to the ruler of the synagogue whose daughter they said was dead. So here it says, "Fear not, only believe." So faith is not fearing. Faith is believing. Faith is not doubting. And faith is not fearing. So when you think of gold, pure gold, I guess 24 karat gold, it's 99.9% pure. It's the most valuable gold. And then you have 18 karat gold, which I think is about 75% pure, but it's cut with other metals. It's cut with other things. It's less valuable. So if you think of your faith as you wanting it to be as valuable as possible, to be as effective as possible, you want to get it to that 100%. You don't want it cut with fear and doubt and unbelief. You want it pure. Mm-hmm. "Verily I say unto you, I have not found such great faith." And this is in Matthew 8. Verses 5 through 10 and verse 13. And as Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick with the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should comest under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed that very hour. And I pictured the centurion coming to Jesus humbly, coming before him. And he's a man of authority, and he recognizes the authority in Jesus. He recognizes that Jesus has authority over sickness. And so much so that he knows that Jesus doesn't even have to be in the same room. He knows that 500 miles away, all Jesus has to do is tell that sickness to go, and it goes. That's pure faith. He didn't doubt. He had no unbelief. He just knew that he knew that he knew. And according to his faith, it was done unto him. Luke 17, verses 11 through 14. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus didn't even say, Be healed. He said, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And as they went, they were healed. And what I love about this is that because they were healed as they went, before they even took that first step to go show themselves to the priest, they didn't see healing in their bodies. They didn't see healing. They didn't see the manifestation of their healing. They didn't question Jesus and say, Hey, Jesus, but we're not healed. What do you mean go show ourselves to the priest? No, they just had the faith, and they knew that they knew that all they had to do was obey Jesus, go show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. We look not at the things which are seen. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's exciting because if there's things that you are seeing that don't line up with the Word of God, they're temporal. We have the faith of God in our spirits to activate the power of God to bring God's promises into reality to change every circumstance. Amen. So to me, that's very exciting to know that it's everything's subject to change, but it's according to our faith will it be done unto us. According to the faith of God that's in our spirits. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I look at this scripture, and to me, I see God is grieved. It grieves Him when we don't have faith in Him, because that says we don't believe in Him. We don't believe in who He is. And He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to lean on Him, to trust in Him. That's what pleases Him. That's what brings Him joy, is when we lean on Him with our entire personality, when we have that faith of God that is pure, with no doubt, no fear, and no unbelief. Thank you, Jesus. So now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10, 17. The more time we spend in the Word of God, the more that is our reality, not the things of this world. The Word of God, Jesus, the spiritual realm, needs to be our reality, Amen. Not the things of this world. When that is our reality, nothing is impossible, because God said nothing is impossible with Him. With man, it's impossible, and the ways of man and the things of this world. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. So the Word of God, the things of the Spirit, need to be more real to us than the things of this world. And that comes by hearing the Word of God, spending time in the Word. Because we are of this world, we are in this world, but not of it. Amen. Faith is the key to victory. James 2:17. Even so, faith, it has not works, is dead. If it has not works, is dead, being alone. And I think back to when I got challenged with my shoulder when I fell, and we were at the airport. I believed I was healed, But there has to be some type of faith action behind it. There has to be an action behind it. So the first thing I did was I grabbed my suitcase with the arm that was challenged, because that was going to move me in the direction of my healing. If I would have used the opposite arm, I would be saying, wow, my arm's injured. My arm's not healed, it's injured. And I would be moving in that direction. So I chose to use this arm because I knew I had to if I wanted to receive the manifestation of my healing. And I couldn't put it in a sling. Sure would have felt a lot better, but I couldn't put it in a sling. I couldn't coddle it. So I had to do my best to do the things that I would normally do to the best of my ability until the complete manifestation was here. And it took some time, but praise God, 100%. Amen. Amen. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And you know, probably one of the most amazing testimonies I've ever heard that I learned about maybe 8 or 9 years ago of walking by faith and not by sight was a man who ended up with a cancerous tumor outside of his chest. I mean, the thing was big. It was huge. It had tentacles going up in his shoulder when it was at its worst. And it started out where he had just a little bump right here on his shoulder, and it opened up into a sore, and the sore wouldn't heal over, and it got to be about the size of a nickel. And at that time he was attending a church that believed in the healing power of God, so he called his pastor for advice and kind of what should he do. And his pastor told him, well, why don't you go to the doctor just so we can find out what it is so that we know specifically what to pray for. So he did. He went to the doctor, and the doctors looked at it, and they diagnosed it and told him that he needed to come back for surgery to have it removed. And so he went to the receptionist's desk and he made the appointment, and the appointment ended up being like 2 weeks out. And the doctor heard it, and he said he felt the doctor stop, and the doctor said, no, that's not soon enough. And he said he could feel the fear coming from the doctor, and he thought, whoa, this is kind of serious. And it ended up being 2 days out was the surgery. He didn't want to wait any longer than that. So he started getting challenged with fear, and he didn't even really know what it was at that point. He had the diagnosis on his paper. And so he called his wife and told her, he said, what is a malignant neoplasm? And so she looked it up, and she says, it's cancer. She says, it means that it's growing, that it's active, that it's not benign, that it can metastasize into something else. And so he was more fearful. But in his fear, he made the decision to call his doctor and cancel that appointment and stand solely on the Word of God, which is what he did. And it went on for 8 years. And that during that time, it just began to grow and grow. It got so heavy that his wife had to buy a bra. She cut out one half of it and used it as a harness to support the weight of it. And they had to wrap it in paper towels because it would ooze, and it was just really icky. And so in that process, he got really challenged. He wasn't able to work. So he thought, well, if I'm not going to be able to work, I'm going to spend all my time in the Word of God. And that's what he did. He just spent all his time in the Word of God, just filling himself up with the Word of God. And then a few years later, a friend of theirs came by with a CD series on healing from a different ministry, and he started listening to those. And so by him filling himself up with the Word of God and listening to the teaching on healing, was specifically geared towards healing, he got a revelation, and he just got it just like that. He says, you know what? I'm healed. I'm already healed. And he just made up his mind that was it. And he just drew a line in the sand and he said to the devil, thus far and no more. That's it. It stops now. And then about 2 weeks later, after he made that declaration, his wife was changing the bandage and changing the paper towels and whatever they used to dress it with. And she says, you know, she says, we don't need as many paper towels as we needed before. She says, this thing's getting smaller. And he said, well, of course. He said, that's the only direction my body can go. is to be healed. And that's exactly what happened. It took about 8 months, but it just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller until there was nothing left but just a little bitty scar of where it originated. So his faith was the key to his victory. Amen.
Amen.
Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Praise God. Praise God. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And that's possible for us. Because we believe in Jesus, because we have the faith of God in our hearts, when that faith is purified, when we're spiritually minded, when the things of the Spirit are our reality, we will do the works of Jesus, and greater works than those shall we do. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So, something that is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, it's in the unseen. Because if we can't, it's above anything that we could ask or think. So it's in the unseen. So that's another way that we use the faith of God in our spirits to activate the power of God in us to access those things that are exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think in the spiritual realm, and bring it into the present by our faith. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. It's a powerful scripture. According to our faith will it be done unto us. So whatever promise of God we are believing for can be made a reality in our lives by the faith of God in our spirits, activating the power of God. So in conclusion, God has given us everything we need to be victorious in this life. It is God's deep desire that we walk fully in all his promises, but the choice is ultimately our own. Amen.
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 Father, we just thank you so very much that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You paid that price we could not pay. And you chose the hard part. You chose the painful part. And you gave us the blessed part. For you took upon yourself every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain that would ever be known to man. You paid for them all. You took them all so that we would not have to, so we could be healed and whole and restored and renewed and rejuvenated, that we walk free of all sickness and disease, infirmity and pain, that we walk in healing and health, that we're able to enjoy our lives of serving you and not be dragged down by the attacks of the enemy upon our bodies. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We read that, we know it, we believe it. This is our faith in believing that your word is true and that that price has been paid. And yes, that healing does belong to us. So whatever we're belonging, whatever we're believing for, let's make it a point of making it belonging to us, because Jesus says so. So let's say together, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now let's come into agreement with each other in the Word of God and say, we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now let's proceed with our faith action plan, which is to partake of the broken body of Jesus to receive our healing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." No longer a covering over, no longer an annual sacrifice. Jesus was the once for all sacrifice, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And we thank you, Jesus. Your shed blood paid the price to wash away every one of our sins, to buy us righteousness and right standing with you, to allow us to be in your presence without recrimination, to allow us to be free in your presence, enjoying the joy that is in your presence. We thank you, Lord, so much for this new, better, and everlasting covenant that gives us all the promises of all that we need throughout eternity. We thank you, Jesus, as we receive together that precious, life-giving cup of blessing. Let's take it together and receive a flood of the blood of Jesus throughout our entire beings, in Jesus' name.